You are beloved and you are welcome here.
Whether tears have fallen from your eyes this past week or gleeful laughter has spilled out of your smiling mouth,
you are beloved and you are welcome here.
Whether you are feeling brave or broken-hearted, defiant or defeated, fearsome or fearful,
you are beloved and you are welcome here.
Whether you have untold stories buried deep inside, or stories that have been forced beyond the edges of comfort,
you are beloved and you are welcome here.
Whether you have made promises, broken promises, or are renewing your promises,
you are beloved and you are welcome here.
Whatever is on your heart, however it is, with your soul in this moment,
you are beloved and you are welcome here.
In this space of welcome and acceptance, commitment and recommitment, of covenant and connection, let us worship together.
So hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, where our Kensington Unitarians community has its spiritual home. Ours is a space made sacred by all who gather here on every day of the week. This is a busy building, busy with people and activities. And here on a Sunday, I like to think that we dedicate this space once more to a deeper purpose. Our chalice flame is lit, it's connecting us with progressive Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist communities the world over, and it's reminding us with its one simple flame that we are one people living on one planet Earth together, sharing our world with all life, one precious existence.
A story now, which some of you may have heard before, about somebody who wants a better life, but ultimately finds the value in the life that they're living. Once upon a time, a stonemason paused to rest from his hard work for a few minutes at the side of an enormous rock. He saw a lord and his servants pass underneath the shade of the trees nearby. When the stonemason saw this rich lord with all his luxuries and comfort, his work suddenly felt much harder. "Oh, if only I were a rich man," he wondered, "I would be so happy." Suddenly, a voice answered from the mountain, "Your wish shall become reality. A rich man you shall be." When the stonemason returned home, he found a beautiful palace where his simple home had stood. The poor man was overflowing with joy, and before long, his old life was completely forgotten. One day, when he was walking in the marketplace, he felt the hot sun burn on his face, and he wished he was as mighty as the sun itself. Immediately, he became the sun. As the sun, he felt all-powerful. His light shone around the entire world, and his rays beamed on kings and cobblers alike. But before long, a cloud moved in front of him and obscured his light. "What is this?" he wondered. "A cloud is mightier than me. Oh, how I wish I were a cloud." And a cloud he became. He blocked the sun's beams, and for weeks he poured rain until the rivers overflowed their banks and the crops of rice stood in water. Towns and villages were destroyed by the sheer power of the rain, but he noticed that only the great rock on the mountainside remained unmoved. "What is this?" he cried. "A rock is mightier than me. Oh, how I wish I was a rock." And the rock he became. and he gloried in the power. Proudly he stood, and neither the heat of the sun nor the force of the rain could move him. "This is the best," he said to himself. But soon he heard a strange noise at his feet. And when he looked down, he saw a stonemason breaking him up piece by piece. Then he cried in anger, "Oh, if only I were a stonemason!" In that instant, he became the stonemason once again. And it is said that he remained content as he was for the rest of his life. Any children for the children's programme?
I think they're all staying okay. Today.
You're welcome to stay.
And we're going to move now into a time of reflection and prayer, getting ourselves comfy as can be, giving ourselves chance to align ourselves with the spirit of love and life. And all that we hold to be of greatest worth, the God of our hearts and our understanding. Let us give thanks as best we can at this moment on this day for our lives and for the life of our world. For springtime flowers and the song of birds. For the company of one another this day. Each finding some cause for gratitude, however small. A reason to silently say, "Thank you." Just like the stonemason of our story, we perhaps know our own longings to be something or someone other than we are at times. For our lives to be different. For our struggles, perhaps, to be eased. Let's, with compassion, remind ourselves what it is to be human. How easily we imagine that another way of life might be better than ours. If only. In a few moments of silence now, I invite you to think of some aspect of life that needs to be accepted just as it is. And yet we also know that much in life demands our attention, demands our commitment to change. Be that in an aspect of our own life or in the life of our wider world. In stillness, let us think of an issue, if we wish, that we already show some practical concern for, where our actions might make a difference, however small. Let's ask for the strength to do the work that needs to be done. Let us each direct our loving thoughts to those we need to be in need this day. People in our own lives or people we hear of in the news, particularly at the moment we're thinking of people struggling in the aftermath of the cyclone in Mozambique, those caught up in violent attacks in Sri Lanka last week. And may all people this day know the care of another. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen.
By Max Ehrman, this reading was popular in its time, giving some ideas on how to live a good life. I wonder if you've heard it before. Desiderata. Go placidly among the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have a story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexatious to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with dark imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees or the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive God to be, and whatever your labours and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be cheerful and strive to be happy.
with that music to take us now into a time of meditation. I invite you to get as comfy as you can in your seat. There'll be a short spoken meditation, and that will lead into a time of shared stillness and silence together. A good few minutes, and that will come to an end with a chime from our bell. So you might want to hold on to anything you want to hold on to, or put down anything you're ready to let go of. That might be a hymn book, or it might be some repetitive thought that you just can't seem to let go of this morning. Perhaps if those sorts of thoughts come, we can just gently smile to ourselves and watch them float by. Using the gentle rhythm of our breathing to let us settle for a while, aware of ourselves here and now, sitting in this place, aware of the noises outside and on the busy streets, and aware of the noises in this room, and yet able to turn inwards and to focus on our breathing. Knowing that this breath and this present moment is the only moment there is. Each moment followed by another moment. Here in this flow of existence that we share. The air that we all breathe. Let us enjoy these sequences of present moments in shared stillness together now. What makes a life great? I guess you've all got your pens poised, waiting to write down some brilliant advice from me and then rush off to put it into action. And then we'll all live happily ever after. All of us living great lives. If only. And I expect you're all eagerly clutching copies of our May edition of the Kensington Unitarians newsletter, hot off the printing press and waiting for you outside. This month's edition is a particularly good read. There are 5 pages where people in our congregation have described someone who is a spiritual and moral inspiration to them. Reading about them, and some of them I'd never heard of before, it's made me want to find out more about some of them. And when these people were choosing the great lives they wanted to speak about, the point was made that when we admire someone, look up to them perhaps, it can encourage us, can't it, to be our best selves, to be greater than we might otherwise be. And yet we also know, don't we, that we can only live our own life. Yes, we may be inspired by the life of someone else, by their ways of being in the world, but we each have our own unique circumstances in which to live, our own backgrounds, education, skills, interests, physical and mental capacities. So if today's service has any one message, and I'm not sure it really has, if it has any one message, it is that to live a great life is to fulfil one's potential in the circumstances which life and chance have landed us in. And I do believe that some 40,000 people are running the London Marathon today. I know many of us had to make the difficult choice. But I'm personally pleased that you decided to come to church instead of stretching your legs this morning. And in truth, I'm doubtful that I and a few others here could have made it over that finishing line. We're not all blessed with the marathon runner's physique. And yet, I don't know about you, but I do know people who've turned to running or some other remarkable sport remarkably late in life, and sometimes quite unexpectedly. You never know, do you? That old saying goes. People regularly surprise me. I don't know, I surprise myself quite a lot, actually. Not always in positive ways. Now, earlier we celebrated Jane's 20th anniversary of walking through the doors of this church, and I am personally incredibly grateful, Jane, that you made that step. And it's not an easy one, is it? I mean, if you think of your first moment of walking into some new endeavour, some new place, you need a bit of oomph, don't you, to get you over the threshold. So I'm incredibly grateful to everybody who does make that tentative or eager step across any particular threshold in life. But thinking about your anniversary, Jane, it reminded me how very different my life was 20 years ago. And I wonder where all of you were 20 years ago. I certainly would not have predicted then that I would be here today. Life takes some unexpected turns, doesn't it? For good and sadly for ill as well. 20 years ago, I had a copy of the Desiderata piece by Max Ehrmann up on my wall, and it meant a great deal to me. It wasn't the easiest time of my life, and that line, with all its sham and drudgery and broken dreams, this is still a beautiful world, that really did touch me then. It really meant a lot. I needed reminding that this is a beautiful world, despite everything. And it's a world in which we each need to find our place, the place in which our unique potential can flourish and be used to best effect. We heard that story earlier on about the stonemason. I mean, it does always make me laugh, that story, really. Poor bloke, honestly, you have to be careful what you wish for in this life, clearly. That stonemason who longed to be something other than himself. And there must be something about stonemasons, because I know another story, and you've perhaps heard this one too. The story of someone who comes across three stone cutters, asks them what they're doing, and the first replied, "I'm making a living." And the second kept on hammering while saying, "I'm doing the best job of stone cutting in the entire country." And the third looked up with a visionary gleam in the eye and said, "I'm building a cathedral." And you perhaps have heard this story being told as a way of praising the visionary one who can see their work as part of something far greater. But you know, these days I'm inclined to use a story like that differently, because that first stonemason is making a living like most other people on this planet at this moment. I really admire all those who tackle tough jobs that need doing in order to provide for themselves and their families. And if you've not yet met the street cleaner who works around here, I highly recommend an encounter, because that it just deeply impresses me, the effort that he puts into his relentless work. So I admire all those who tackle tough jobs that need doing. There is a nobility in work and in honouring of family. And I admire the second stonemason who is aiming to best that they can be at their particular trade, because there's a nobility, isn't there, in perfecting a particular craft or skill, in being the best that we can be at what we do. And yeah, I admire the third stonemason, all right, who sees the greater picture, who has a sense of a far greater vision in life, and is playing their part in the greater scheme of things. But I think that stonemason has quite a reward in itself, and perhaps doesn't need as much praise from the rest of us. So what makes a life great? Do you know, I think it's up to us. Only we can say. Unique individuals that we are, bringing our unique gifts to this world, inspired perhaps by others, yet ultimately living our lives as we see fit, being who we are, and allowing others the space to be who they are, making room and opening up possibilities for each human life to flourish. Yeah, that's a great life. Amen. Osho wrote that one has to be oneself. That's my basic message, he says. The moment that we accept ourselves as we are, all burdens, all mountainous burdens simply disappear. Then life is a sheer joy, a festival of light. And so, in the days ahead, let us be ourselves as best as we can be. And let's accept others as they are too. All flawed, all beautiful, each a unique and precious example of what it can mean to be human. Amen.
Amen.
Go well and blessed be. And I forgot in the introductions, this is a very belated welcome to Lizzie Baumberg, who comes from our Godalming congregation originally and is now a music student here in London at the Guildhall. This represents, I think, a first for Kensington Unitarians. We've never had a French horn player here before in our service. So it's a real pleasure to have you with us, Lizzie. And I'm letting you all know now that this next piece is 7 minutes long. It's different. We don't know the tune, and it's just lovely to have something different to listen to today. So sit back and enjoy. And thank you to you both.